We're going to begin today in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. And as this chapter opens, we find that Paul introduces a different subject. What we're going to be looking at in chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, and the first part of chapter 11 is what many people would call matters of culture. Matters or issues that are not right or wrong in themselves, but what many people would refer to as matters of option, matters of opinion, matters of conscience, or matters of indifference. Not everything, of course, in these chapters is a matter of option or a matter of indifference, but there are many questions that these Corinthians had. There are many issues that they struggle with, and Paul is trying to help them to understand the truth on these matters. And so he sets forth some very important principles in these chapters. He's talking about cultural matters or matters of culture where God has not specifically said that a certain thing is right or wrong, but these are matters that depend on the circumstances as to whether a Christian should do them or not do them. It's also important to remember that Corinth was a highly diverse place. They were culturally diverse. There were people there from different parts of the world. They had different backgrounds. They had different customs. They followed different philosophies. They had different religious beliefs. Some were superstitious. Some were idolatrous. And they had different political leanings. So this was a place that was not uniform in its ideas or in its customs. When you have a situation like that, there's bound to be friction. And when you have a congregation made up of people from different cultural backgrounds, then there's a need for teaching and a great need for having the right attitude in a situation like that. So some of these issues that we're going to look at in this section are not the most common issues today. As a matter of fact, I think that some Bible readers give little attention and too little attention to what Paul is saying in these sections because they say, well, we don't face that issue today and we're not dealing with that question in our society, so there's no need for me to read that. And what they miss is the fact that Paul gives principles that apply not only to the questions and the issues that the Corinthians were struggling with 2,000 years ago, but he gives these guidelines that are for all ages. So as we find ourselves living in a more culturally diverse society, as we find ourselves becoming more and more aware of what other people in other nations believe, it's very important for us to understand the teaching that Paul gives in this section of Scripture, beginning in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. So let's begin by reading verses 1 through 6. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Notice the very first words in chapter 8, verse 1. Now as touching. Remember that earlier in this book, you're going to find in chapter 7, verse 1, he said, now concerning. Well, when you get to chapter 8, he says, now as touching. In other words, Paul is making a transition. He talked about questions concerning marriage in chapter 7. Now he's going to talk about the subject of things offered unto idols. And because idolatry is not common in our land, we might ask the question, what kind of things did they offer to idols? Well, it may have been fruit or vegetables. It may have been some kind of food like that. It may have been money. It may have been an object. Or it could have been an animal. So there were different things that these idol worshipers offered to their idols. And the important thing to remember is that what was offered to an idol was sometimes used or sold later. And that's where Paul comes into this situation in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in addressing the questions that these Corinthians had. So he says, now as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. And he's talking about the more mature and understanding people at Corinth, because he's going to talk about some Christians who didn't quite understand the matter that he's talking about here. And it's vital for us to try to put ourselves into the place of these Corinthians. There were many idols in the city of Corinth, and there were many idolaters there. And not only that, some of these Corinthian Christians had been idolaters in the past. And so what we find then is that especially in their case, there was a need of teaching about things concerning these items that were offered to idols. But before Paul gets into that, he makes a statement about knowledge and love that is very important. As a matter of fact, this principle that he lays down in the last part of verse 8 doesn't just apply to the situation of offering idols and what one person knows about that and another person may not. It applies to all men of all ages and all places. He says, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity," or love, "edifieth." Look at the first statement. Knowledge puffeth up. Isn't that true in general in life? Now, the knowledge, of course, that he's talking about is knowledge of these cultural matters, especially things offered to idols. But the principle is true in so many other different ways. When one person knows more than the people that are around him, he can be prone to be arrogant. It can cause him to be big-headed and, as Paul says, puffed up. As a matter of fact, virtually any advantage that we have over the people that are around us can lead us to become prideful if we're not careful. For instance, if you have authority, if you have power over the people that are around you, it can go to your head. If you have more education than the people that are around you, it can cause you to, as Paul says, to be puffed up. If you have more talent than the people that you associate with, that can cause you to be arrogant. If you have more beauty, that is physical beauty, than the people that you associate with, that can lead you to become, as Paul says, puffed up. And if you have more knowledge, or if you think that you know more than people that are around you, even in terms of the Bible, even if it means knowing more about the Bible than the people that are around you, if you're not careful, that can cause you to be puffed up. So Paul is warning these Christians at Corinth not to be prideful, because some of these Christians would understand that these items that were offered to idols that were later sold or used wouldn't affect a person's Christianity. But there would be some people there that would not understand that. And Paul is warning these more mature Christians, or even the Christians that thought that they knew more than others did, not to be prideful, but to love and to be patient with those people that don't quite understand, but have a very sensitive and tender conscience about these things. Knowledge puffs up. Remember also that these Corinthians were puffed up. They were arrogant. And some of these people were arrogant because they thought that they knew more than they did. They were leaning on and relying on worldly wisdom, that is, human philosophy, and it caused these people to be prideful, and that caused them, of course, to be divided and contentious among each other. That's why Paul warns against depending upon human wisdom in the first three chapters of this book. So Paul says that the tendency, or at least the temptation, of a person who has knowledge is to become puffed up. But on the other hand, he says the tendency of love is not to be puffed up and to cause division. What charity or love leads you to do is to edify each other. to build up, to encourage, to have sympathy for, and to try to help other people that are around you. An arrogant person simply says they ought to know better and I know better, and that's just it. And they're very impatient and very arrogant about it. But love leads you to say, this individual does not know, but I'm going to try to help that person, and I'm going to be patient. And then Paul gives another warning in verse 2 when he says, and if any man thinks that he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. When a man gets to the point where he thinks that he knows all that he needs to know, he doesn't really know much at all because he's lost his humility. And you'll notice as Paul writes this book that Paul warns about having too high of an opinion of yourself. He says in this verse, if any man thinks that he knows anything, he doesn't know anything yet as he ought to know. Later in chapter 10, verse 12, remember that Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And Paul also put the Galatian brethren in their place when he said in Galatians 6, verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So Paul says, get rid of human pride and just try to help each other. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning in verse 4, Paul begins to address this question about things that have been offered to idols. He sets forth the basic and the clear fact of the whole matter. He says in verse 4, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols. And let me stop right there and remind us again that he's not talking about eating something offered to an idol in idol worship. He's not talking about eating something as a meal in worship to that idol. He's talking about that food that was offered to an idol and what was done with it later, because sometimes that food was sold to somebody else who would sell it in the market. These Christians then were faced with the question, is it right for me to buy and to eat that food that had been previously offered to an idol? And Paul's simple answer in verses 4 through 6 is this, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. That idol is nothing. It is a piece of wood. It is a piece of stone. It is a piece of metal, but it's nothing. There is only one God, he said. And he reminds these Corinthians in verse 5 that though there be that are called gods, in other words, he's saying that many people have their own gods and they have names for these gods, he says there's only one. And he says, regardless of whether they are in heaven or in earth. In heaven doesn't mean in heaven where God is. Heaven there means the skies. And he's talking about the sun, the moon, the stars, and how that some people in the Old Testament, even the Jews sometimes, as well as some people in New Testament times, worshiped those heavenly bodies. Or in earth, because there were idols made to represent human beings or animals, fish, and all kinds of elements of creation. Sometimes people would even worship trees. So Paul says, even though there are all kinds of these so-called gods, as there be gods many and lords many, in other words, he's saying, as if there are many different kinds of gods, he says in verse 6, there is only one. And he is going to answer specifically the question about things that have been offered to idols, beginning in verse 7, and we're going to look at verses 7 through 13 in the next lesson, and we're going to talk about some modern-day applications and issues regarding matters of culture and matters of conscience.